Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. Now, lads, it has been a huge week in the world of tech and social media. Billionaire Elon Musk taking over Twitter. There's been problems galore with Instagram last weekend. So here to fill us in on all the drama is Adrian Weckler, tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent. Adrian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jan. Very well.
Good. So you're at the Web Summit at the moment in Lisbon, is that right?
I am.
How's it going?
It's pretty decent so far. It's packed full. The Wi-Fi's okay. There's just about 70,000 people here. So there's a lot of tech gadgets and a lot of tech talk.
Okay. Deadly. You sounds like you're in heaven.
Yes or no?
Yes and no.
Yes. I'll say yes.
Okay. Let's kick off with Elon Musk. Why did Elon Musk buy Twitter, first of all?
Couple of reasons. First of all, and the main reason, is that he's addicted to Twitter himself. Anyone who uses Twitter, probably about a million Irish people, knows that Elon Musk tweets every day repeatedly. Sometimes it's controversial stuff. Sometimes it's plans for the world. Sometimes he's talking up a virtual cryptocurrency. But essentially, he announced he was going to buy it a few months ago. Then he spent months trying to get out of it because the tech slump happened and the value of everything crashed. And then he was basically forced into buying it. So he spent $44 billion on something that's worth about half that. He says that he's on a mission to make sure that it's not there's no censorship. He says he's sick of the woke culture that's going on social platforms. And he thinks he can make Twitter bigger and, as he says, freer.
Okay. That's dangerous talk.
It is dangerous talk. And In the first days after he took over, he gave a perfect example as to why it's dangerous talk. He tweeted, then deleted, a homophobic conspiracy theory about the attack on the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi. It was an uncorroborated rumor that the assailant was known to the victim. It was spread by a small free sheet newspaper with a very controversial history, and that's being kind to it. He tweeted that out, and everybody said you shouldn't be doing that. He then deleted, but he absolutely exemplified how Twitter can be a dangerous social media platform for spreading unfounded and false rumors. And now he owns the thing. You know, so
It seems like, I mean, I know the laws are different in different countries, but it seems like if he has his way and all this freedom of speech, there would be defamation cases and court cases left, right and centre. People are allowed to say whatever they want on Twitter.
Absolutely. Now, you're right to say there's a difference in freedom of speech and speech laws in general in the US and Europe. Within, I would say, hours, one of the European commissioners, Thierry Breton, basically came on to tweet it at Elon saying, look, you may have bought Twitter, but you're now going to have to play by our rules. So, forget about this libertarian idea that you might have. Yep.
Okay, so at least someone is willing to stop him in his tracks. Mm-hmm. But not only that, he went into Twitter and is it true like he sacked everybody on the first day, the board?
He sacked the entire board and made himself CEO, basically taking sole charge of the company. Now, he says that is a temporary measure, and I think it has to be, because there's no way that you can run Tesla, which is a big business, SpaceX sending rockets up and his dream to send rockets to Mars, and still run Twitter, which is a very complicated company with complicated issues, all by yourself. So I think you will appoint another board. The bigger fear is him firing thousands of other employees. So Twitter has 7,000 staff worldwide. About 500 of them are in Dublin, in the Dublin office here. And he has strongly intimated, and my understanding is that there are moves to shrink the workforce by 25%. So that would be, you're talking about 1,500 to 2,000 staff going there. Now, there's no indication yet of where they might be. It's possible that Ireland won't be affected as badly, because it's actually harder to fire people in Europe and in Ireland than it is in the US. But you look at the broader picture. He spent a fortune for this. He way overpaid Twitter itself doesn't make much money. So he's trying to find a way to save money and pay the bills.
Yeah.
So he's going to fire a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, any business person would probably say, yeah, he might have a point if he's trying to, because Twitter doesn't actually make a huge amount of money. So he's going to half the workforce. Well, he's not going to half it by 25%. And he's going to change things like charging people for the blue tick. How much does he want to charge? And can you just explain that to us?
I mean, it was bizarre how this happened. Initially, it was mooted at $5. If you have a blue tick, there are 400,000 people around the world, politicians, celebrities, journalists as well, people who are in the public eye and whose accounts are deemed to be to have a requirement of authenticity if you're to trust Twitter as a platform for sharing information. About 400,000 of those. What Musk is saying is, look, we have to make money any way we can. If you have a blue tick, we're now going to charge you $8 per month to keep that blue tick. Okay. It was bizarre the way it happened as well. He got into a row with Stephen King, the horror novelist online, because Stephen King said, no way am I paying. And Musk said, well, we have to make money somehow. And what about $8? Anyway, he settled on $8. Now, the issue with that, if you don't have a blue tick and you regard it as some sort of golden circle and people who have blue ticks as being, you know, up themselves, I can see why you think this is hilarious. And that's totally fair enough. And for disclosure, I have a blue tick. I'm not sure if you do, but as a journalist who tweets out news items, you know, they gave me a blue tick because they wanted, you know, that account to have some verification or authenticity about it. The problem is, if you can just buy a blue tick, then that opens the door to maybe spammers, maybe marketers, and maybe decreases overall the trust and reliability of the news sources. And, you know, in a crisis, in a big moment, Twitter's the place you go to in big moments for big news stories. You know, if you need to know in minutes or in seconds if the person tweeting something, whether they are who they say they are, whether the information is accurate and reliable. Take away the blue ticks, and to be honest, I'm not going to pay for a blue tick.
No. I gave up my Twitter account, and it's funny about the news because the team here were discussing this, and they feel a need to be on Twitter because you're right, all the big moments. You go to Twitter and it's there. You know, in that particular moment, it's where people go, and it's so important if you're a journalist or working in the media. I find the news comes to me, Adrian, in some shape or form. It finds me somehow, even though I don't have my Twitter account anymore. Can we talk about Instagram for a second? Because my sister-in-law, Jean, was a victim of this, and thousands of other people. There was a lot happening with Instagram, but people's accounts being suspended, cancelled by Instagram. What was going on there?
It was very weird. It lasted like the best part of a working day. It lasted 8 hours. Essentially, like many thousands of Instagram users, maybe tens of thousands, were told that their accounts had been suspended. This happened on Halloween.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be concentrated mostly among iPhone users. And there was no explanation given. There was people waiting for hours and hours, you know, to find out, you know, what was going on. Also, some people saw a lot of their followers just gone or deleted from their accounts. Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, he lost 3 million followers from the 493 million he had. Now, he lost 3 million followers, and thankfully for humanity, he went back up to 493 million followers. So we're all glad about that. But I mean, they did fix it, and it took, you know, 7-8 hours to do so. But you know, we're talking about the centrality of Twitter. I mean, Instagram, you could argue, is now just as central. I mean, there are people who run their businesses off Instagram. And if you feel that your account has been suspended, there's actually a bit of a stigma to do with that. If you're, you know, if you are communicating with your friends or maybe even your colleagues via Instagram. Anyway, Meta, the company that owns Instagram and also Facebook and WhatsApp, it's a bit of a mess at the moment. I mean, it doesn't seem to be able to get its act together. It's focusing all of its research and development money at the moment on the metaverse, which we've talked about before. It's like $10 billion. But the other products are starting to suffer, you know, from that. And
so do you think it was maybe a glitch, a little glitch in the system that people were losing accounts and being suspended because it just came back? Yeah, just a glitch in the system and just people taking their eye off the ball. But what was really apparent when
look,
it happened...
Sorry, Jen. Yeah, no, you and I have spoken about, you know, where there is a choice between a conspiracy and a cock-up, I'll always go with the cock-up, always, especially with a tech company. Okay. Like, in other words, you know, was this a data breach or a hacking attack? No. I mean, it wasn't. It was just they just screwed up. They screwed up.
They just messed up, yeah. But it, what became very apparent is these accounts are not really ours. Like anything that you put on these Instagram accounts, they belong to Instagram. Like, so we feel an ownership because we've been working on them for so long and built them up and have so many followers. But they don't do they really belong to us?
Well, no, they do. In the sense that the stuff that you post and all of that, that does belong to you. And sometimes you see these scam viral posts on Instagram or Facebook warning that, you know, the small print says that Instagram or Facebook or, you know, own everything you post. That's absolutely not true.
Okay.
Absolutely not true.
Okay.
So, but to the point where they control your means of accessing it. Absolutely. I mean, I did a big interview with a woman who lost her twin sister a couple of weeks ago, and she's had terrible trouble with the big social media companies trying to access some of the content on her deceased sister's social media accounts because they say, well, you know, tough, you know, we have rules and, you know, it's
not, does it belong to you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Des Bishop does it in his stand-up. He's like, get the passwords, get the bloody passwords of everybody.
Write them down.
Write them
literally
down.
Literally write, and I mean on a piece of paper, because if you put them on a Gmail or a Google Doc, guess what? Google's not going to give it to you, you know? So, yeah, absolutely use your Pion Louie and your notebook as the ultimate prepper fallback.
Deadly. Okay, well, thanks for clearing up a lot of stuff that's going on in the social media world. Enjoy the Web Summit. Adrian, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Brilliant. Thanks a million,
Jen. Thanks, Adrian. Bye-bye. There we go. That is Adrian Weckler. He's the tech editor of the Irish Sunday Independent. Always a pleasure to have on the show. And we'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.